Welcome to the Underground, the Steel City Underground, the black and gold standard for Pittsburgh Steelers coverage. Now, here are your hosts, Joe Kuzma and Brian E. Roach.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Steel City Underground podcast. My name is Joe Kuzma, and I am the host who loves toast, joined by the host who doesn't like toast, my partner in crime, my brother from another mother. He's too legit to quit, a one Mr. Brian E. Roach. What's up, Brian?
Do I have to do the hammer dance now?
Man, did you have hammer pants? Because that would be hilarious.
No, I never actually had hammer pants.
Do you remember?
But I could do the hammer dance.
Do you remember shorts?
Badly.
Do you remember shorts? It was about like the early 90s. They had these shorts they called jammers because now they're just shorts because they went past like your knees or something. And they were always like some crazy radical or tubular colors, like neon.
Shorts are for children.
Yeah. You don't wear shorts?
Never.
Man, you must have
shorts are for children.
You must have some gross
grown ass men wear pants.
I don't know. I've seen Cam Hayward in shorts in December, warming up for pregame. So I digress.
I have a picture. I have a picture that I posted on Facebook or somewhere out there in the interwebs of me walking my dog in the snow in shorts. So I'm lying.
Oh, okay. So you're that type. You're the guy who wears shorts no matter the weather. So, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me. You're one of these warrior dashed types. So, I mean, it's all good.
Yeah.
The host who I don't know. You got me all confused now. The host who loves shorts. It doesn't quite roll.
I don't love shorts. Shorts. If I have them on, I'm not going to put pants on to go out in the snow. That's all.
Well, you know what? I agree with you on that. I used to take trash out in shorts, even with like 2 feet of snow, because I'm just lazy. Like, who would do something like that?
Exactly.
So, speaking of, the reason why we're talking shorts, people are probably like, what the heck did we stumble upon? No wonder why these guys weren't on YouTube for a week. this is like, it's football in shorts time. And, somebody was like, wait until they play some games before you, like, critique or something. And I'm like, well, we wouldn't have a podcast until like August, but you know, we've got another position group to break down. So we've been going from offense to defense to offense to defense to defense to offense. I think we're now, what are we back on? Offense, right? Tight ends.
Yes.
Tight ends. So, I mean, like, this will be the shortest show ever. I mean, there's Vance McDonald, and that's it. So, my name is Joe. His name's Brian.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Tip of the cap. No. In all seriousness, we have something to talk about here because most folks, that's their impression of the Steelers' depth chart right now. And, I mean, we're all out there thinking, you know, as we go through this, we'll talk about it, that they could add somebody, another body later on. But, when is there ever a time where you have somebody who's entrenched as a starter, who's basically a big fan favorite right now in Vance McDonald, and then everybody thinks, well, the position is weakness, it sucks, and they're looking for like the next guy who's probably not going to play very much, to be completely honest, when you look at all the other offensive weapons that are out there. It just completely baffles me. You have a veteran, capable Vanimal, he's a grown-ass man too, by the way, and Vance McDonald. Now, I get it. Vance McDonald has not been a 16-game, a year guy, but, you know, it seemed like he was getting there. He was more healthy this past season than he has been, you know, in some time. I mean, even going back to his time with the 49ers, I mean, the most games he appeared in was his rookie season, 15, technically four starts. I don't know how many two tight end sets they really used. He didn't see a whole lot of action until probably his third year, where he had 46 targets and then 45. And then he came to Pittsburgh in 2017, his last 2 years, 10 games, his first year. He was a little banged up. He wasn't necessarily the starter either, because that was a trade that happened at the end of training camp. So he didn't have all of training camp to even do anything. Now, I know he got a little banged up with training camp last year too, I think, for like a week or two, and it was early on. And he's basically been around, you know, all of last season, 14 starts, 15 games, just missing one game. And, throwing the ball at him 72 times. He had 50 catches, 610 yards, 4 touchdowns. I mean, this is, you know, it seems like pedestrian numbers, but for a tight end, that's about where Heath Miller was for his entire career. And then finally, it looks like somebody, you know, that the Steelers can lean upon or Big Ben can lean upon. Because speaking of which, it seems like they've been trying to find like an actual starter since Heath Miller left. Now, when Heath Miller had his last year in Pittsburgh, I think it was Matt Spates last year as well. He was kind of the backup, and they drafted Jesse James. It was his rookie season. It seems like they were never happy with Jesse James, a fifth-round draft pick. We know he didn't have the yards after the catch. Still a tough guy, still sure-handed, still a big target, but just, you know, not a burner and not a guy that's, you know, breaking a whole lot of tackles or whatever. A little bit of trouble sometimes, you know, pass protection and things and blocking and things of that nature. But, you know, a reliable guy that if you had to plug him in as a starter, and often they had to because they, you know, there was failed experiments in trying to get somebody else to start, such as Ladarius Green. And, you know, that one blew up. And you know what? I liked Ladarius Green for the short time that they had him because I think I played him in fantasy the one game. Was it the Cowboys game? I'm thinking the one that he really, or the Giants. I think he broke out like 100 yards and 10 catches and whatnot. And, you know, it was like they were forcing the ball to him too because they were trying to use him. And unfortunately for him, you know, whatever problems he had with concussions and an ankle and everything, his career never panned out. But it seems like they were never happy with I don't know if they were happy with Jesse James, but they never really saw Jesse James as the de facto future. I mean, Jesse James would start if somebody were hurt, like Ladarius Green, like Vance McDonald. And then when those guys were healthy, you know, he was no more than maybe a 40 to 50% of playing time. They would sometimes have some jumbo packages or two tight end sets. But aside from that, I mean, if everyone else was healthy, he was firmly entrenched as the number two. And I don't know if people were just, you know, I know Jesse caught it. I'm still sticking to that. But I don't know if people were, you know, are that stuck or that much of, you know, there's a lot of Steelers fans or Penn State fans. So I get it. You know what I mean? This is somebody they brought in and somebody that was a fan favorite. And now he's gone. He signed with the Lions. And I don't know if there's that much need for panic. Unless Vance McDonald ends up, you know, banged up. But then again, is there any position on the field where with any of the 32 NFL teams where we don't say something like that? Well, if the guy that's starting ends up getting hurt, they're in trouble. I think that's every single team and almost every single position. That's why you have starters and you have backups.
Absolutely. You know, like Vance McDonald actually addressed this in OTAs himself. The fact that he hasn't been able to stay on the field for 16 games. It's something he's focused on. You know, when the guy's healthy, you know, it's a weird dichotomy with him because you look at him and everybody, of course, remembers his stiff arm against Tampa Bay. And he had highlights that like that throughout the season. And you look at that and you go, well, this is just a big old bulky grown ass man. And you know, he's just going to waltz all over people and knock them all over. He's never going to be hurt, but he does. He gets dinged up. And we'll just have to wait and see whether he can manage to stay healthy through the whole season. You know, it is a room that I think is understandably somewhat concerning because of depth. But, you know, I like Vance McDonald quite a bit. And I think as they grow into him and as he, you know, again, as he blossoms with the Steelers, you know, this is a season where he could have a career year if he can stay healthy. I know that that's the caveat we always seem to add. And you know, I don't know what the deal is with Jesse James. I guess part of it is that, you know, Jesse, you know, he was what he was, which was a solid receiving backup tight end. He got better as a blocker as the years went by. But the Steelers were never going to pay him the kind of money that he was going to be able to get on the free agent market, as so happened with Detroit. But, you know, I don't know how Jesse feels right now after they drafted T.J. Hockenson, you know, up there. And they've got they got a tight end room with like, what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 6 guys in it?
Michael Roberts,
too. I'm not sure Jesse's feeling. Yeah, Michael Roberts, too. And I look at them and I go, Jesse got paid, but, you know, Jesse may not see the ball that much.
I don't know. It's so one of these GM-type things where it's like, what are you doing?
Maybe they want to be the Ravens. I don't know. Maybe they're going to line up 6 tight ends every play. you know, I don't know the answer. But, you know, the tight end room that we have, there's a clear number one. I think we can all agree with that. That's Vance McDonald. And after that, this is why many people look at this and think exactly what you said. They may add somebody as time goes on. When cuts start to occur, when, you know, roster cutdowns happen, they may look out there on the waiver wires, or they may look out there at what's available and decide they can get somebody that's going to help them. But they clearly don't know that yet, and they don't think that yet. And I think, you know, there's a guy in this room that I have no reason to have high expectations of, but I'm going to be intrigued in his second year, and I'll talk about him when we get to him.
Surely.
Yeah. But I think I understand people who look at the tight end room and say they need help there. But I also understand that there isn't really help for them to get right this second. So they kind of have to figure out what they've got and go from there. And they did draft a guy, so it's not like they didn't try to address it at least somewhat.
Yeah, and I mean, I get it. Heath Miller was, you know, the Iron Man, so to speak, among, you know, tight ends, period, and holds a whole ton of records. And you know, we'll bring up Heath here in a second, too. You know, and I'm trying to think of which direction to go with this, because you threw me for a loop when you mentioned the Ravens and all the tight ends they have. It sounds like my wife's fantasy football team, where she takes a tight end in the first round and then doubles down like within the next three rounds and has two guys. You can't even play them both on a fantasy roster. So and that's the way I look at this, too. It's like you can't play them on a reality roster either. I mean, how many times you get them on the field, you know?
Yeah.
I was just like taking a little cursory look, you know, at Heath Miller and his career and seeing like how many times he had some big games with a lot of receptions. And I think quite a bit of that, maybe, you know, especially considering when he was dwindling down here, was 2013, 2014, 2015, you know, team was kind of in a rebuild type mode, and maybe, you know, there were players, what was Ben's comment, that were the moment was too big for. So when you're throwing the ball at, you know, Kobe Hamilton and, you know, stuff like that, I guess, you know, you're leaning on your security blanket is Heath Miller. Now, I don't know that Vance McDonald is quite that security blanket yet, where even if he disappears from the field, you're not talking about replacing a bunch of production. Now, we're counting on him to maybe chip into some of the balls that were thrown Antonio Brown's way and maybe step up and have more of a presence on the field. But until that actually happens, it has not yet, you know, we wait to see. In, let me see, how many games do we have for Vance? 25 games in a Steelers uniform, right? How many games has he had more than five receptions in?
I will say one.
If you're looking at it, that's a good guess. If it's absolutely,
I'm not.
Correct.
I'm not looking.
No, that was right on the money, man. Seven catches against the Bengals last October, 68 yards. How many 100 yard receiving games has Vance McDonald had in 25 games as a Steeler?
I would guess one again, because that was a long touchdown in Tampa Bay.
Was it Tampa? It was Tampa. Yes, you're right. Absolutely. Four catches, 112 yards, touchdown. And this is regular season. So we take one playoff game where he played against the Jaguars in that awful loss. He was targeted 16 times, caught 10 receptions for 112 yards. So, I mean, that's where a lot of it, I think, you know, there's a lot of people out there that are, you know, Steelers fans are spread all over the country. They may not get to see the game every week. Maybe they work, whatever be the case. This one was probably on TV and is one of the ones, just like, you know, that Monday night game with Tampa last year, where it sticks in their brain because, you know, they saw the game and it's on the big spotlight and everybody else sees the game too, even if they're not a Steelers fan. So they're thinking Vance McDonald, Vance McDonald, Vance McDonald. Don't get me wrong, I absolutely love Vance McDonald. All I'm trying to show is it's not that he can't be productive. It's just more or less the ball hasn't gone his way for one way or the other so far. So if the worst case scenario happened and he wasn't available, you're looking at replacing. Now, hold on one second, because I said how many games with more than five receptions. Do you know how many games he's had with at least five receptions?
Two.
Just two, yeah. There's only one other game that he's had at least most of his production's 3 and 4 catches. That's where he makes.
I'm on fire, man.
Yeah,
I'm
that's
on
where
fire.
He makes. I know, man. The Showcase Showdown right here. We're loving, you know, the Price is Right right now. So, yeah, I mean, it's just one of these things where, you know, I love Vance McDonald. You see some of the big plays he made catching for touchdowns and stuff like that in the red zone. That's really been his bread and butter. I don't know if it's, you know, I don't know if there's like some growing pains with that just from the first year and not having a training camp or being banged up here or there. I don't know about last year. I don't know if it's like Ben is forcing the ball to Antonio Brown more or the ascension of Juju Smith-Schuster and cutting into everybody's production because you have like a legit wide receiver one that's your wide receiver two. I mean, that's pretty much where I'm at. So at the worst case scenario, if you had to go with, let's say, a backup, and this was the guy that was the backup previously, you're talking about the numbers for Jesse James last year, 30 catches on 39 targets, 423 yards and 2 touchdowns. I'd say that's doable by just about anybody else who's, you know, catching a pass out there. And Jesse himself, you know, last year, 2 games each with 5 receptions. I mean, now one of those games, they threw the ball. It is the tight end position, period. Maybe they're thinking to themselves, you know, this is a thing where when Jimmy Graham came into the NFL, I think it was Jeremy Shockey, and I'm trying to think of the other gentleman who was the other tight end. The Saints had like 2 guys like this where, you know, they were splitting the production. And as soon as Jimmy Graham came in, thinking Jimmy Graham was a rookie, it could even been Jimmy Graham and Shockey. But as soon as Shockey was out of the picture, Jimmy Graham, look what happened, man. He just huge, bona fide Pro Bowl, All-Pro tight end. And I'm not saying that Vance McDonald's going to immediately leap into that, but when you're not throwing the ball, when you don't have Antonio Brown to throw the ball to as much, this ball is going to go around to some other people. Of course, it's going to be some of the wide receivers. We're definitely hoping it's like James Washington and Dante Moncrief, and obviously Juju should be right on the mark, if not even better this season. We'll see. But, I mean, Jesse James, you know, you're not talking about a whole lot that you have to, you know, make up for. And there's Xavier Grimble, who we were kind of surprised was brought back. Now, still looks like a Greek god, as he did last offseason. The guy is just a physical specimen to look at. He's definitely strong, but then we go back to that reason when we were talking about ball protection, and, you know, that's why Stephen Ridley doesn't have a job in the NFL right now, is because of that fumble in Denver. Unfortunate that, you know, he goes to try and mow over Will Parks, you know, of the Broncos, just short of the goal line, ball pops out, goes out, and you know, that rule where you fumble through the end zone and it's a touchback, and the Broncos get the ball instead, and the Steelers lose by 7 points. And for all intents and purposes, that, among other things, you know, a blocked field goal and Ben's interception and stuff like that, they lose that game. But at worst, a game goes to OT. Maybe they win it, and then maybe they're in the postseason. Maybe they win the AFC North. So there's a lot of, like, coulda, woulda, shoulda type of turning points that we've been covering over on the website, you know, almost on a weekly basis. And, you know, that's one of them, is the Xavier Grimble fumble up in Denver. And, you know, he comes back. He's been a guy who was on the practice squad. He has a handful of starts. Apparently, they feel at least confident enough that Xavier Grimble could step in and at least be Jesse James. Now, I'm going to take it further, because the other guy that we think is going to make this roster is the 5th round draft pick, same round, Big Ten tight end, about the same size and frame in Zach Gentry from Michigan, a very raw rookie, just as Jesse James was a very raw rookie. And we probably think at the very least he's going to be the 3rd stringer heading into this season. Is there really that much of a drop off from Jesse James to either Xavier Grimble or Zach Gentry? And I'm going to say this one little other caveat here, Brian. I do think Xavier Grimble is a little more athletic than Jesse James is. Just a little.
Yeah. Look, you know, if you want to see that, just go back and watch Jesse run. watch any of Jesse's running highlights, and you could tell that athleticism is not necessarily his strong suit. Not that he's not an athlete, but he's not athletic. And you can tell that it's fine. Look, Xavier Grimble, he has the coolest nickname in the X-Man. Therefore, he gets love from me for that. He gets less love because of that fumble, which I still can't forgive him for, because it's about winning. It's not about being tough. But maybe that's Vance McDonald's fault. I don't know. Vance McDonald, you know, set the standard in the room, and they're all trying to live up to it.
Yeah, he's trying to imitate.
But Yeah, you know, I can be a He-Man too. Either way, look, Xavier Grimble over the past several years shows flashes of brilliance. He shows flashes of Ladarius Green type athleticism and toughness, and flashes of just rub your head and go, what the heck is going on out there? His concern from my standpoint is blocking. It remains blocking for a guy who is, as you said, a physical specimen. He does not always handle his business on the line. And that's one of my biggest concerns. Now, when you say, is he good enough to replace Jesse James's numbers? The thing that I will give Jesse credit for is he was consistent and steady. And Xavier Grimble is not consistent and steady. So is it that he can't? No, he probably absolutely can. But he would have to mature his game to a point where he becomes more consistent in order to do so. I don't know that they're looking at Xavier Grimble thinking he can replace Jesse James's numbers. I hope what they're thinking is Vance McDonald can stay healthy for a full year and he can build on his own numbers, and we will find ways to replace that production throughout the lineup. Because it won't all be, it won't all be Vance McDonald. It'll be spread around. But I think, I think this is a group, and we haven't talked about the wide receivers yet, but we will in a later show. But I think the receiving core in and of itself, despite Mr. Big Chet's no longer being there, despite Jesse James, not that that's a big name, no longer being there, I actually think this is a group that they can do big things with. I'm not overly worried about tight end production as long as Vance doesn't get hurt, which is a caveat that I'm going to be holding on to throughout, as long as Vance doesn't get hurt. Now, you talked about Zach Gentry, and I'll tell you again, my biggest worry there is he's like the if Xavier Grimble is He-Man,
is he Battle Cat?
Zach Gentry... Zach Gentry is Stretch Armstrong. he's squishy. He doesn't look, it's not right. I know it's an unfair way to say this, but he's soft. He doesn't look like he's got the muscle that he needs to really, perform well in this position. He's going to have to, up his game blocking. He's going to have to essentially mature. I will say this: we talked about Heath. Heath worked with him at the combines. So this is a guy who has been somewhat already mentored to a degree by a Steeler great at the tight end position. And maybe he's got an understanding of what that means, and maybe he takes something away from that. There are a lot of similarities in the trajectory of Keith Miller and Zach Gentry in that they both started as quarterbacks and converted to tight ends. Okay, that's probably the end of the that's probably the end of the similarities. But they obviously saw something in Zach Gentry. I mean, he's got the size to be a good, that looks like he's going to be able to be that. The professor calls him a seam buster because that's what he is. He's a guy that's going to be able to go down the middle and provide a nice target for Ben to throw to.
Yeah,
if he gets on the field,
yeah,
and I think that in and of itself is suspect.
Yes, agreed. And I mean, it's for all the same reasons. He's like 6'7", 260, 270 or whatever, just like Jesse was, just like all of these guys are, quite frankly. They're all in about the same size category, and it's no mistake. I mean, that's what the NFL has grown into. You either have blocking tight ends, or, you have like these former, basketball player behemoth types trying to create some mismatches on smaller inside linebackers and or safeties. And, that's where Gronk definitely made his career from all of that. I was just kind of looking at this, too, because, I don't want to quiz you much more, but Jesse James over the course of his career. So in his career, 56 games, 36 starts. Only three games with more than five receptions. So that's out of 56 total appearances, 36 starts, three of those. So, I mean, you're just putting it on par with the same thing with McDonald. This is kind of like just the way that the Steelers offense operates. Now, they don't always have a tight end on the field. And sometimes when they do, they have two. And some of that is misdirection type plays, which is quite frankly what they ran when Xavier Grimble got wide open, third and one against Denver, and then, you know, hauled it down the field and fumbled. McDonald, how many times he played more than three quarters of a game in any given game last year out of the 15 that he was in? Just once. Jesse James, how many times did he play more than three quarters of the game? I'm talking about 75% of the offensive snaps. Only one time where he had 69 snaps, nice, in week one where Vance McDonald did not play against Cleveland Browns. So this is where, you know, it's kind of like it's just more – it's like personnel driven instead of just like an individual player driven. And I think some of that has to do with the – we're going to be talking about the wide receivers, but the Steelers have at least two slot wide receivers. They have a running back that they could motion out like a Jalen Samuels or even James Conner, even though he didn't do it very often last year. We saw him do it. And these are the type of looks that they're able to, you know, kind of put out there and create. And I imagine, you know, Juju's been all over the field too. And, you know, we still got to talk about, like, we didn't even mention Deontay Johnson. Jeez, yeah. I'm going to continue Johnson. Getting that screwed up with the safety from Alabama. It's and then yeah. Deontay Spencer. So the Steelers have two Deontays. Anyways, if he ends up getting some playing time too, I mean, they have six wide receivers that can make the roster. So, I mean, when you mix that in with the tight ends, we started seeing a lot more four and five wide receiver sets last year under Randy Fichtner, as opposed to what you were used to seeing in the past. And, you know, there's, when you have receivers that can also block, like Juju can, that also helps as well. So, I mean, you look at, you know, okay, Heath Miller was really the security blanket, but I think they kind of moved, you know, they moved that needle, so to speak. They moved the goalposts, because when Heath was there, Heath was pretty much the third wide receiver, or Le'Veon Bell was the wide receiver too, as we said many times. Now you got, you know, three and four deep on the wide receiver depth chart of, you know, credible players with good hands. Look how often Ryan Switzer saw the field and how many, you know, targets that he had. And, you know, that's something that they didn't have previously. So it's just something to kind of consider. I mean, Xavier Grimble doesn't have a whole lot of production. We're looking at, you know, 11 catches and about 120 some yards and a touchdown over 2 years and, you know, 44 games. He's been in the games, but I mean, we're talking like, you know, Xavier Grimble getting like a snap or two here nor there. And he's going to see more as long as he secures, you know, the backup spot, which we think he will, unless somebody else comes along. I mean, they added Bucky Hodges last year in training camp, and now, you know, he's been released, and it was somebody that looked like they had an awful lot of talent coming out of college. I mean, Grimble's season high last year was that week one game. He had 22 snaps or 20, about a quarter of playing time of the offensive snaps against the Browns in week one. And then, you know, he fell to like 8, 16, 3, 10, 21. There was a game he didn't even play, and probably inactive maybe even. 4, 13, 7, 6, 9, 15, 12. That's about where he is, and that's a third tight end getting a breather. That's probably what you're looking at for Gentry if he gets to see the field some this year. Now, there are other tight ends that are on the roster. It's not to say, you know, that these are the only three guys, but it looks like the Steelers, you know, they're prone to only keep three tight ends at any given time. And they're not, you know, I can't say that they're going to keep more than three. If they do, it's kind of the dark horse to make the roster that we'll talk about at the very end, because he's a special teamer as well. But the other gentlemen that are here, they're bringing to camp, legitimately six tight ends. So you have last year's practice squad player, international player that they brought over from the UK, rugby player Christian Scotland-Williamson, who is another ginormous guy if you stand up to him, 6'9", 274. He'll come to camp. He's practice squad eligible. You know, he's still making that conversion to, you know, NFL, American football. You know, it's still a project, but Xavier Grimble is a project too. So I don't know that I necessarily want to rule him out. The only thing that kind of rules him out is he wears number 49. It's just not a tight end number.
Yeah, that's tough.
Yeah, I mean, Zach Adonia would not find that very sexy. Kevin Rader from Youngstown State, my alma mater. I know Kevin Rader. I'm like, Kevin Rader's got, you know, another shot at the pros. He was in the Packers camp last year, and he's best known for, if you go back a few years, there was a semifinal game, you know, they're the 1A or the FCS, and they're playing Eastern Washington. I believe this was, this may have been against our guy, Samson Ebukam, who plays for the Rams now, a friend of our show that we've had on and talked to several times during the draft process a few years ago. And Kevin Rader makes this catch in the back of the end zone on a defender's back. So he's literally almost like, pretend you're, you know, you're hugging your wife, and then the football goes into your hands, you know, at the small of her back, and he comes down with it pressed against this guy. And that's how that's how Youngstown State goes to the championship game that year. And that's what he's best known for. I don't know if that's parlayed himself into getting some pro opportunities or not. I have to kind of think that he's a blocking type of back, that is a kind of a capable receiver. I mean, it just wasn't Youngstown State's offense to throw the tight end the ball, you know, an awful lot. And then there was another guy that definitely was their guy that they liked to throw the ball to when they did. So, you know, you're going to look at his college stats and be like, who is this guy? And it's like, well, it's somebody that's coming to camp to compete. And if he can block and some other guys can't, he may be a practice squad type guy. And those are the two I'll talk about. Kick it over to you, Brian, before I get to the anomaly on this roster, the intriguing story of this year's roster going to camp.
All right, this is what I have to say about Kevin Rader. All right.
Yeah.
Let me move on.
Poor Kevin Rader.
I mean, nothing against him, but, you know, Kevin Radar's path to making this roster is a tough one. You know, probably an impossible one. If Kevin Rader is on the 53, we have problems because there's people hurt in front of him, and they weren't able to find any help anywhere else. Let me just put it that way. Not to disparage him. He's got skills, but he's down the depth chart here. On the other hand, the guy with three names, the guy who has a country in his name, mm-hmm. Christian Scotland Williamson, and I would try and do a Scottish accent, but I don't know how. So I'm not going to.
We could just make him a Texan. It's like that Family Guy episode where, you know, they were all either Brits or Texan, and then they did the British version, and Stewie had a Texan accent instead of the British accent.
I need more power, man. And that's what he's got. There you go. I'm trying to do Scotty. Anyway, I like Christian Scotland Williamson. And here's the thing. He's going to be in the practice squad no matter what. He doesn't even have, unless he absolutely stinks it up, because he's a member of, you know, this foreign player
initiative
program, yeah, initiative. He doesn't count, so they'll put him on the practice squad if nothing else. But this is my dark horse guy right here. This is, look, he's 6'9". You got to love him.
You can't teach 6'9".
They can't teach 6'9". He's the biggest tight end they've got. He's 6'9", 274. He's my dark horse, and here's why. If you go and you watch any of his rugby highlights, he's athletic. He's strong and athletic. He can make the transition. It's probably this guy.
Yeah.
So I'm interested to see what happens here. I don't think he's going to be pushing Xavier Grimble to be the second guy. I don't think he's going to be pushing Vance McDonald to get snaps on, and I don't know that he makes the 53 at any point, you know, as far as getting a helmet. But there is an outside chance between he and Zach Gentry if he progresses enough. You know, Zach Gentry could end up on the practice squad, and Christian Scotland Williamson could end up on the roster. I don't have any other reason to say that than he's got a country in his name and he's the biggest tight end in the room. Because he didn't, you know, clearly they didn't give up on him because he's still here. And even though it doesn't cost them really anything as far as a roster position is, there's still an investment in money. There's still an investment in health benefits and all those things that he's going to get as a practice squad eligible player. So they see something there. The question is whether that's going to progress enough in his second year in American football to be able to do much. I still, that's the guy I'm rooting for more than anybody else in as far as a, you know, a dark horse candidate within the tight end group. I don't have anything against any of them, you know, and I love Vance. You know, I don't even include Vance because Vance is a lock. But I'd like to see this guy you know, come through. Plus, I want him to score a touchdown, and I want to hear a British accent in the interview at the end of the game. Well, it'll make me smile.
Well, I think just for clarification here, the AFC North is no longer the International Player Pathway division for 2019. So Christian Scotland Williamson is actually signed to a reserve future contract. And I believe that may have only counted. I'm thinking they could have still rostered him, and it may not have counted. Now I got to look that up from last year too, Brian.
I thought I read that earlier today that he would still get that exclusion
okay.
this year.
Okay. So maybe he's still under an exclusion. Maybe he's not. I'm not quite sure. You know, I wish I knew how that worked. It's almost like trying to figure out how Pro Football Focus works sometimes. So, you know, they were allowed to roster. They had 91 instead of 90 players in camp last year, and then he signed an actual practice squad contract. And the beginning of the 2018 season, after all the final cuts, and then the reserve contract in January, actually the first of the year, like right as the season ended, they made sure they added him to the roster. Which, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, they could have just had the guy there and said, okay, well, you know what, he was a freebie, and now it's time to move on. We didn't see anything there, but I saw a little bit of promise from him. I'm not going to lie, not just because he's 6'9". You know, the only other guy on the roster as tall as him is Big Al Villanueva. Yeah. Villanueva is also 6'9", and then there's a couple. Zach Gentry's another guy, he's 6'8". So they're among the tallest guys on the field. And I'm sure, I swear Mike Tomlin loves like the big bodies. Like, he's just in awe of them. You know, I bet you he loved Andre the Giant growing up, watching wrestling or something. So, just looking at it, let me see here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. So he must not have counted. You are correct, because they had 11 on the practice squad. You could only have 10. So he must not have counted at that point for the international player pathway. I don't know how that works this year. I'll have to probably ask somebody that's got it's above our pay grade, somebody with a little more knowledge on that. But we'll find out for you, definitely. But the final tight end we wanted to talk about, because there's not a whole lot in the room, is is he a tight end? I mean, this is the crazy part about this.
Technically, I don't know.
he is and he isn't. Trevor Wood, I'm sorry, wearing the old DHB number 88, will also be competing with Cameron Kanaday, who is the Steelers' long snapper. So you talk about the best ability is availability. I think the second best ability is versatility. When you're looking, Mike Tomlin likes
position flexibility.
He loves guys that are position flexible. And if you're looking at a team that's thinking about keeping an extra linebacker, an extra DB, an extra wide receiver, and maybe they're worried about the tight end spot still. If he shows promise as a long snapper, I guarantee you they're still evaluating this whole process. Everything from Boswell to Barry to Cam Kanaday, who's snapping the football. They're going to give Trevor Wood a look. What does it hurt for them to give him a look, number one? And if he ends up running some snaps or whatever, some reps with the offense, and looks like he's kind of a capable tight end. Now, he's 6'6", but, he's a little taller. He's taller than Kevin Rader. He's taller than Vance McDonald and Xavier Grimble. They're all 6'4", those guys. So you got two monsters, and you got this guy that's kind of in between the rest of them.
Yep.
And, if they're seriously looking to move on from Cam Kanaday, which they could be, Cam Kanaday's about, he's 6'4", 245, so Wood's actually a little bit bigger at the long snapper spot. If he proves that he's faster and more capable and he could snap the ball, he may have a legitimate shot at making the 53, and then it gives the Steelers some depth at the tight end position as well.
Yeah, look, Cam Kanaday was a adequate long snapper, but he was by no means perfect last year. And, this is not faint praise or faint, insult as it may be. He's no Greg Warren.
who is? I mean, Greg Warren.
Who is? Yeah.
We're talking about Hall of Famers. There's a guy that'll probably never, are there long guys that go in as just long snappers into the Hall of Fame?
No. No, stop. Stop that right now.
He can't even get kickers.
Stop that right now. Greg Warren is not Hall of Famer.
No. I know what you're saying, but it made me think, are there long snappers in the Hall of Fame? Because it's hard to get kickers and punters in. I mean, long snappers are people too.
Are. Yes, they are. And look, I like the mentality that they're going into this offseason with, which is that every position's got competition. You know, there's multiple guys that are running for the long snapper. There's multiple punters. There's multiple kickers. You know, there's nobody. I mean, there are people who are safe. We know that. But there's nobody that really isn't going to have somebody trying to drive them to do better. And that can pay dividends. And look, I think the long snapper position is open to be taken. So if Trevor Wood can perform and do the job that a long snapper needs to do, and it, as much as I just, you know, kind of was a little insulting towards long snappers, I shouldn't be, because it's not an easy job. First of all, you know, it's a job that, you know, what's that song? You know, you don't know what you got till it's gone. We learned that when Greg Warren got hurt and we had James Harrison, you know, another he who shall not be named that just got named, doing long snapping. You know, we've been through it. A long snapper is a critical position on a team and can cost you games if they're bad. So it will be interesting to see how that pans out. And the fact that he might also be able to play tight end is good for them as an emergency position for the very reason you mentioned. This is a team that may want to keep an extra corner or an extra linebacker or an extra wide receiver. And if they've got to carry three tight ends, that may be someplace where they go, we're going to keep Grimble and we're going to keep Vance, and Trevor Wood becomes our number three guy. And everybody else that we keep is on the practice squad.
Well, I was thinking of him even as a four, kind of like, you know, David Johnson was kind of an H-back and a tight end.
True. And that's also, I mean, it's like you said, position flexibility is always an attractive piece. I will tell you the truth. I have not watched one iota of film on Trevor Wood, so I have no idea if he is any good as a tight end. I promise to do my homework at some point during the offseason and watch something if I can find it. But I have to say this, and it's completely non-specific to anything we've talked about. You brought up PFF, Pro Football Focus, because we oftentimes mock them for their weird wizardly ways and the stats that they come up with that seem to just be, I don't know, pulled from certain bodily orifices. But because you said PFF, it made me think of another PF, another pro football thing, and that's Pro Football Talk, and I just have to get this out of my system. They are the absolute worst takes on the web. Pro Football Talk, stop following them. They're terrible. They are the worst. And
anybody else. That's right. Yeah. Is it because of the Ben thing with the Heath Miller number 83 jersey and Zach Gentry? Is it that story?
No, it's not that story. That story didn't bother me at all. It's just, it's really whoever's doing their tweeting. I would like the opportunity to smack them upside the head. They have the worst takes, the absolute worst takes on the Steelers of anybody out there. And I say that having mocked Bucky Brooks to no end, as well as many other NFL analysts. But Pro Football Talk, you stink.
Yeah, I mean, so there was the story, and actually, you know what, before I get on to that, because I'm sure people heard about it and they're making a big to-do of nothing, as anything, making a mountain out of a molehill with like a non-story, but Christian Scotland Williamson dropped 37 pounds and is like completely jacked as well. He kind of, I forgot to mention, with the Greek god type thing, go look for some pictures of him. He's, you know, he's got like a 12-pack going on. So very, very interesting story there too. And there's you know, there's some articles up there. Actually was one today at the or the other day I should say, the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette had featured just him, of course, you know, the big talk being a former rugby star. And I'm seeing like some kind of vague information that still says as long as he has the international player exemption, then, you know, Kevin Colbert is looking to continue working with him. That's just a matter of is that an if? Does it matter? Does it, you know, is he the lone exemption even though the AFC North isn't the designated division this year? So that's what we'll have to find out from somebody more, you know, that's plugged in and knows some of the legal terms here. But yeah, the Big Ben and Zach Gentry thing, I guess, you know, he started a rookie camp with 83 because he wore 83 at Michigan. And then I guess he was politely asked. I don't even know that it was necessarily Ben. He didn't say that it was. And I guess he didn't have a real problem with it, so he's wearing 81, and now everyone's confusing him with Jesse James, and maybe people will yell Heath when he gets the ball too. But, yeah, a big to-do of nothing. The only thing I didn't understand what this was is, like, where was all this, you know, fake outrage when Kobe Hamilton was wearing number 83 just a couple of seasons ago, you know what I mean? There aren't very many numbers that wide receivers and tight ends can wear, so this isn't like there's one that they aren't going to dust off anytime soon in 86, but eventually, I mean, what, 82 88, all these numbers end up getting 83, they get reissued, whether it was Lynn Swann's number or Stallworth. The only one that hasn't been thus far is Hines Ward. Even Rod Woodson's 26 was given out. There was somebody in between him and Le'Veon Bell too. I don't recall who it was.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it doesn't last forever.
Now it's Mark Barron.
Yeah, correct. Which is very odd to see. You know, I was like, wait, he can do that? So maybe he's playing running back too, just like Sutton Smith playing offense. You know, there's a – and Trevor Wood. Position flexibility. Why not? You know what I mean? So I don't know. I don't have a whole lot else to say about the tight ends. I definitely have nothing else to say about the 83 jersey thing and whether it was like a big deal or not. I mean, Ben has worn the 83 jersey at practice too. So you know what? I don't know what kind of crime that is, you know – within the what do you want to say, judge, jury, and executioner of the gridiron, and how that works in the locker room justice. But I don't know. Maybe it was just because he took exception because it was a tight end wearing 83. I don't know. I really don't know how that works. And maybe that's the reason, you know, Le'Veon Bell was wearing 26. I want to say somebody on offense was wearing 26 before that too. I think another running back that name escapes me too. But anyways, you know,
yeah, I can't remember.
If you don't know what we're actually referring to, there Steelers have about 10 or 12 jerseys that they have not reissued the numbers for. They don't retire jerseys. They just started the Hall of Honor as kind of a way of doing something similar to that. But there are numbers like number 12, Terry Bradshaw, that has not been reissued, or 36 for Jerome Bettis, 86 Hines Ward, 32 for Franco,
58, 59, 52.
Was
75, 52.
Well, 75 is retired. Yep. It's one of the few. 52 was Webster, correct? And then you're talking
yes.
Lambert and oh geez, why am I drawing a blank?
Ham.
Yes, Jack Ham. And I'm trying to think who else is on there, but we used to have the full list of this at one time or another put on the site. 43 hasn't been reissued, obviously, and I doubt 7 will ever be reissued whenever Ben decides to step away from the game as well. So, I mean, it's kind of more of a tradition thing. Once those players have left, they haven't given those jerseys back out, which is kind of a cool fact. I don't know if any other teams have done that. We know other teams have retired jerseys, but that's kind of where the gist of this hoopla has come from, is that, you know, oh well, they haven't reissued all these other things, so, you know, Heath Miller holding most of the records is, you know, probably the maybe the greatest tight end in Steelers franchise history is you know, worthy of the same distinction. So I don't know why people get so upset about some of these things. It's not anything that I'm going to lose sleep over, quite frankly, but just to give you an idea where it's coming from.
Yeah, here's the thing. Heath wouldn't lose any sleep over it either. He'd be like, no, let somebody wear it. You know, that's just the kind of guy he is. But I do want to take that word probably out of there. Definitely. He is the greatest tight end in Steelers history.
Well, that's true. I usually put conditional things on there. Somebody will bring up somebody from the past. But, yeah, Heath holds all the records.
He is. Now, I know the guys they're going to bring up. No, sorry. Stop.
But all right, Brian, well, I mean, there's not much else to talk about with the six tight ends coming to camp. So we talked a little bit about some tight end history here with not only Heath Miller, but also Heath, mistaken for Heath, Jesse James. We'll see what happens with Matt Heath. I don't know. Everybody chants something for tight ends. We get people to talk about this because there's like Mark Chamora and guys like that. That, you know, it's been going on for ages in different stadiums. And what, Daryl Johnston or whatever that was with the Cowboys and
Moose.
Yeah. Everybody always had. They have their things. It, more or less, my thing was is that they still chanted Heath, not Jesse or James, you know, when Jesse was catching the football or whatever. But I think, you know, as time goes on, those things start to dissipate too. And, you know, it just, you know, it was kind of cool. I think it was a good honor, a cool honor.
I don't Jesse want it James to dissipate.
No, I don't either.
I want it to stay.
I want, we got
Heath, chanting Heath when the tight end catches the ball, I think is a tribute to the greatest tight end in Steelers history. And it's just fun. Plus, it confuses the other team.
And it would confuse him more if he was actually, if like Gentry actually was able to wear 83 as he initially planned. Yeah, but yeah, maybe we should start an online petition for that. So we'll see. We'll see what the comment section has to say for us. And folks, we always appreciate your support. Thank you for listening. Don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe. And Brian, thanks once again for joining me.
Always a pleasure. I look forward to our next humble chat.
As do I. So until next time, folks, my name's Joe. His name's Brian. We encourage all of our listeners to be safe, be good, and we'll catch you later.
We would like to thank you for listening and remind our listeners to follow us on social media and our website, www.steelcityunderground.com.